Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It is Wednesday morning, April the 2nd, and a chilly morning at that, just in the 30s, as we talk about teen violence. So just as city leaders, by the way, were meeting yesterday, last evening, have an emergency session, emergency meeting. There was an 18-year-old shot in Philadelphia. Also, a man is, we're told, has died after he was shot multiple times. This was behind an apartment in Philadelphia's Roxborough neighborhood. Happened before 10 o'clock last night near Ridge and Paoli Avenues. 32-year-old victim in this case shot in the chest, as well as his core, his torso, leg. And this was behind Ridge Court Apartments. So he was rushed to the hospital, pronounced dead. 30 shell casings found at that scene near the right near the Roxborough, in a Roxborough neighborhood, which generally we don't see these types of shootings in Roxy. So they say they found two weapons, semi-automatic handgun, which quite frankly, most handguns are semi-automatic, but a rifle as well. Police investigating whether the handgun, which is still at the scene, did that belong to the victim? So was the victim trying to defend himself against an attacker? So we're still following this one. Police looking for tips as they don't have much to go on, and reviewing the surveillance images as well. So we have that going on in Philadelphia. But like I say, remember Mayor Sherelle Parker holding the news conference, and then also talking about, as well as the Trans Visibility Day, but also they were talking Monday about all the teen violence. And then they had another emergency meeting that happened yesterday, and they had another one of these type shootings. The first one I mentioned involving a teenager.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the upcoming days that Sherelle will implement into our city calendar of Teen Violence Awareness Week and Lack of Parental Guidance or Fatherhood Month. You know, we have all these virtue signaling days of visibility for marginalized communities. How about we do something for minority on minority crime in big cities? Or does black lives only matter when it's a white cop? I've always been perplexed by that. Maybe one day we'll get to the bottom of it. I never see white liberals going to rough areas in the city talking about the violence in the inner city. You ever notice that? They never leave Bluebell when it's black on black. They just stay in their little comfy confines.
Well, to your point, Nick, the part of, I think, what their emergency meeting was at the Finley Rec Center just yesterday, because they had all the kids shot. You remember we talked about yesterday and Monday about all these kids that, you know, you had the Finley Rec Center, you had the Lonnie Young Playground on East Chelton Avenue. So, you know, these are places where they've designed, pumped money into them, had teen programs. And to your exact point, the city feels like, you know, they have focused on this, having rec centers, having these safe spaces, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, they released the video of the shooting, right?
Kids
were playing basketball, and all good kids. It only takes one to come upon this and open fire.
I know. It's sad. I grew up in a neighborhood that was two blocks away from a local Boys and Girls Club, and I used to go there and play basketball when I was 5th, 6th, 7th, a little bit of 8th grade. And, you know, rec centers like that, honestly, without those rec centers, you have a bunch of kids that don't have parents in their lives, that the moment they get out of school, they're just basically on the go, on the loose until sunset. And it's, you know, rec centers like that that maybe, possibly, even prolong their life. Because without that, they would be out and causing a bunch of trouble. And then, like, you have to report every morning, end up getting shot.
That's a great point that you make.
Sad.
It truly is. We'll take it to Delaware County, where police say they're looking for three suspects accused of assaulting a mom at a trampoline park. This did happen over the weekend, but we're getting the details about it today. So it happened Saturday at Urban Air Trampoline and Adventure Park. A lot of times you take when you're Well, when our kids were younger, you go to the trampoline.
I was just there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
How was it, pal?
It was hell on earth. Nothing against these places, especially if they want to advertise. I'm sure it's great, but for a 4.5-year-old and a 4-year-old's birthday party, which it wasn't my son's, it was one of his classmates. It's for older kids.
Yeah. But it's a great way to tire them out and get them to nap on the way home in the car.
They have a zip line that goes across the whole thing.
Yeah.
If Is this the one in Willow Grove? Because that's the one I went to.
This, yeah, the one you're talking about is Willow Grove, but this one actually is in Delaware County.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's exactly, yeah, you know, what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, and much to Greg's point, there was a mom. She was on the trampoline in an area with her three-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
So she was supervising there. So now an older child comes right next to her three-year-old and is jumping.
Yep.
And you get this popcorn effect. That's how kids break their arms and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Yep.
So mom says, hey, this is an area for younger kids. Do you mind going over here? So this is what caused the problem.
Yes.
Because mom now says...
The problem with this space is that it is designed for kids 7, 8, 9, 10, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That age. You shouldn't really take a kid younger than probably 5 there.
Yeah.
Because... There, you know, there's a lot of bigger kids there, older
running
kids
around,
there that are running around
banging
and they
into each other.
You know what I mean? And I understand what the mother's saying, like, stay away from my kid, and the kid probably should have. But, like, it's not, you know.
Coordination's not the best skill set for
and,
these kids.
And these kids are just trying to have fun, too.
Yeah.
So they either need a separate area mm-hmm. where
yes.
these kids
where
can.
Designated.
Yes. Say, you know, 3 to 6 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Where they can go and play with other kids that are around their age and their height and weight. And then an area for bigger kids.
Yeah. I like the area for adults. They have those automated massage chairs.
Yeah.
You just sit there
well,
and zone out.
The problem with this, at least the one at Willow Grove, is there's no booze there, so it's like you're just kind of sitting there. And
that's why you got to settle for the massage chair.
They have lukewarm pizza for $12 you can buy.
Nachos with that globby cheese.
Exactly.
It's not even melted.
Well, this poor mom, the police are saying they're searching for these suspects. So to Greg is like psychic in predicting what would happen. You're exactly right. Mom, you know, thinks that she's handled it, feels like she said this nicely. This boy... Now goes back with two adult women and a man, and they beat up the mom.
Oh, my God.
She was the bloodied, bruised all over her mouth and her face, punching her. She has a bite mark on her shoulder.
This is Delco
at the trampoline park.
Oh, my God.
Description of the suspects, please.
So they said they have surveillance video from the park. Looking for the witnesses, have not yet released that surveillance video.
Okay.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So.
Interesting.
Were there other motivations? Were there other issues going on?
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying.
So how was the jump park today, dear? Well, I got into a fight with some men and they bit me.
Let me guess. They had a MAGA hat on? No. I'm guessing that's not the case.
Exactly.
Since we don't know the description.
Right.
If
nope.
you get my drift.
Yeah.
No description.
Yeah.
You guys, we have to talk about the fact that Val Kilmer.
So sad.
This is so sad.
Yeah, I mean he's been battling throat cancer for years,
yes.
And that scene that he had in the new Top Gun movie was just like ugh.
Because really?
You think about him, everybody has him in
Iceman
in their mind as that buff dude. With bleach blonde hair playing volleyball on the beach in the first Top Gun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him in the later years. It's just like, oof, God.
Or Doc Holloway, right?
Yes,
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Mm-hmm. Unforgiven, is that what it was? Yeah.
So good.
So yeah, did he pass away?
Yeah.
He died.
Oh.
He died from pneumonia. But he, to Greg's point, he had battled for years. Since 2014, he battled the throat cancer and had two, how do you say, trachs?
Tracheotomies.
He had two of those, which is why he couldn't really speak in that Top Gun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise, a lot of people were reposting because I guess in that movie...
There's a documentary out. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure it's going to get a lot of play in the next couple of days because of his passing. But there's a documentary called like I Am Val Kilmer, Being Val Kilmer, or something like that. It's super sad.
Really?
It's super sad.
I mean,
it's a cool retrospective of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also Jim Morrison in the Doors movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which,
so
which
good.
Was, which was, well, I mean, he did a good job of playing as usual with an Oliver Stone movie, it's over the top
yeah.
and not really. I remember the Doors the surviving members of the Doors watched that movie, and they were just like, yeah, this is nothing like the way we were back in the 60s. Like, at the, like they had him going around all, like, poetic and, you know, always speaking in, you know, poems and stuff. And he was like he didn't do that. He was a
chick magnet in the 80s and 90s, though. My mom loved him.
Val Kilmer,
Yeah.
He's Batman also Forever.
Second worst Batman of all time. George Clooney holds the title for worst, but Kilmer is a close second.
That was an abysmal Batman. I don't what's his name? Ben Affleck. That was a pretty bad Batman.
Yeah.
MacGruber, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
There's only been two really good Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Keaton and Christian Bale.
I know you think Rob Pattinson was good, but
he was good.
He was not.
Not great, but he was good.
He was good.
Better than Kilmer, Arnold, and Clooney and Affleck.
He was better than Val Kilmer. He was better than Ben Affleck. He was better than...
Yeah, he's mid.
Yeah.
He's middle of the road. Right. It's a good little place for you. Nothing wrong with being middle of the road.
And the tush push lives to see another day.
Yeah.
Got that one going on.
Do some more squats if you want to stop it, you snowflakes.
So there, it's tabled.
Do they think... That's probably not a good thing that it's tabled.
Yeah, it's tabled until a future vote.
Until, like,
vote.
May. Mm-hmm. They're going to revisit it.
I think they needed, 24 out of 32? They needed a 75% majority. Yeah.
They were like, the Green Bay Packers were like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
I don't have the votes. Table it to May.
Please don't bother me with such frivolity.
I don't understand how you can ban a football play.
Yeah. Well, I did look into this because I knew you were going to ask that. Because the Green Bay Packers, their proposal, what they want to do is go back to the old... Tony Bruno will know this.
Nick will know this, probably.
Yeah. Oh, do you know this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay. You can critique me if I do a good job. So what I believe Green Bay Packers, their proposal says, put the rules back to where they used to be, where you're not allowed to push somebody downfield.
Right.
So that's how they would get around this.
Yeah, they don't want, like, Saquon Barkley being behind Jalen Hurts, pushing him into the back of the offensive line to create more force against the defensive line. There's also some of this fugazi player safety nonsense the league talks about as they're thinking about adding an 18th game to the regular season. Because they're capitalist pigs, which I am as well. But don't tell me about player safety then.
I just think you can't. They're just butthurt because nobody's found the way to stop it.
You think they would? Do you think this would happen if Tom Brady was still doing it?
No.
Who was also great at the quarterback sneak? No.
This is absolutely ridiculous. What they should do in the offseason, what other coaches should do in the offseason, is find a play to stop that from happening.
That is called stupid.
Thank you, Merrill.
So we got that going on. All right. We are sponsored this morning. It's chilly again. We were getting used to the beautiful warm weather. And it's another Chili's day for us. Phillies, Rockies. This is game two for them, right?
Because they needed a day off after.
They had to have a day off.
Don't get me started on yesterday. I turned the TV on and thought the Phillies were live. And I was like, wait a minute. It's 8 o'clock. It's dark at my house. And the Phillies are in the first inning and it's daylight. And I'm like, they're not on the West Coast. And then I realized, it was a replay of yesterday's game.
Continuing the Philadelphia Phillies, our first home series of the season today.
Let me just correct something. It was Tombstone, not Unforgiven, that Val Kilmer was
Tombstone.
Thank you. Thank you, GQ 007.
Yeah.
So observant.
Underrated frozen pizza, by the way.
For not knowing Tombstone, you are Unforgiven.
Yes. That is a very but good, not Unburdened.
Yes.
So 6:45 this evening. Sorry you loved the 3:05 you said, but it's 6:45 this evening against the Rockies, who we beat, as you know, on Monday 6-1.
It should be a balmy 35 degrees when they play.
Mm. That's
this
just
ridiculous.
Who
wants to sit outside for these games? You know what I mean? Like, it's not football.
Nope.
So the high today, just the high, 54, the sun will peak out. Here's the weird thing. Today, 54. Tomorrow for your Thursday, 77 degrees. So we're all over the place with the forecast. And then Friday, 67, but some rain moves in. And then Saturday, it's another one of these roller coasters. 55 for a high on Saturday. Then Sunday, the sun peaks out, but 75. So we do this pattern roller coaster where one day it's mid to upper 70s, and then we drop like a rock to mid to upper 50s. And that's a pattern that's going to continue here. We are sponsored by Reynolds Restoration when disaster strikes. Respond and rebuild. with care with Reynolds Restoration. Reynolds providing 24/7 emergency response for fire, flood, storm damage, and more. Restoring homes and businesses to their pre-loss condition. Remember, Reynolds at ReynoldsRestoration.com. Kill & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, Trump Tariffs 2.0. A Wednesday Big Take here on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Right now, let's get down to Liberation Day. It's time for a midweek Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Trump tariffs 2.0. Bigger, bolder, and hopefully better. It is the most important financial gamble of Donald Trump's second term. 47 is rolling the dice in an effort to make the American economy boom again and get us out of bad business deals. Trump won in 2024 because of the economy and the border. He's already received, in my grading, an A on illegal immigration and the border. The only thing standing in his way with deportations are federal district judges. March's border crossing numbers came in yesterday. Illegal entries at the southern border in March of 2024 under Joe Biden, 137,000. In March of 2025 under Donald Trump, it was 7,000. That is a 94% fall off. But can Donald Trump repeat his success with tariffs from his first term? It'll literally make or break these next 4 years. And you know, the Democrats and the media, they already have their talking points typed up and ready for mass distribution. Because with the Democrats and the media, and when it comes to Trump, it's always about fear. Everything Trump says, everything Trump does, it always results in a left-wing five-alarm fire. But how about the hypocrisy of the past administration? And how about putting some respect on my guy's name? While this is a gamble, I think it's a calculated gamble. Stronger risk with more enhanced payoff. But it's coming from someone with a proven track record. But first, the hypocrisy. Here was Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury, under Joe Biden in 2023. She's on PBS telling people, have no fear of tariffs. Listen and watch.
As you have seen, there have been some experts, some groups, the National Retail Federation among them, who've expressed concerns that it will be U.S. consumers who eventually end up paying for these tariffs. As you know, polling shows that rising prices are voters' biggest concern right now. So I'd ask you to speak directly to them. Will American consumers bear the cost of these tariffs?
I don't believe that American consumers will see any meaningful increase in the prices that they face.
So which one is it? Do the same rules apply for Trump and his tariffs? It's just, you know, kind of odd. I'm just looking for some consistency here on the concept of tariffs, because when Trump utilized tariffs in 2017, 18, and 19 pre-COVID, you could say they were a success. And guess who wrote about that success? Tucker Carlson? Sean Hannity? No. Axios, no friend of the Trump administration. They wrote a column on March 5th with the headline, How This Trade War is Different from Trump 1.0. They go on to write, quote, The president announces an audacious new tariff on social media. The media breathlessly quotes economists, warning of peril ahead. The economy chugs along anyway. That was the pattern in 2017, 18, and 19. When Trump took office in 2017, tariff revenue was about 1.5% of total U.S. good imports. By 2019, he had roughly doubled that to 2.9%, according to an analysis of the federal data by the Yale Budget Lab. But if the across-the-board tariffs implemented on Canada, Mexico, and China this week remain in place for the remainder of the year, that number is on track to soar to 9.5%, which would be the highest since 1943. And Axios writes, that does not necessarily mean an abrupt slowdown or a recession or even 2022-style inflation. The United States is a large country that grows most of its own food and generates most of its own energy. And look, guys, Trump has publicly said and acknowledged the possibility of some short-term pain. How do you quantify that? Nationwide chief economist Kathy Bosjanovich estimates that if sustained, they would subtract a full percentage point from the GDP growth this year, and inflation would rise by 0.6%. percentage points. Other economists say that while we could see a rise in inflation by approximately a half a point, it could decrease in year two and three of Trump by a full point or more, which would result in a net positive for our bottom line. And if foreign car prices go up, buy American. If you're not in the market for a vehicle for the next 1 to 2 years, probably won't affect you. What will tariffs look like? Here was Trump on Monday evening explaining. Listen and watch.
Different individual tariff rates on a whole variety of different...
Well, you're going to see in 2 days, which is maybe tomorrow night or probably Wednesday, you're going to see. And they're reciprocal. So whatever they charge us, we charge them, but we're being nicer than they were. We have a lot of countries, friend and foe. I always say friend and foe, but the friend in many cases is worse than the foe. They took advantage of us, and we are going to be very nice by comparison to what they were. The numbers will be lower than what they've been charging us, and in some cases maybe substantially lower, but we sort of have a world obligation perhaps. But we're going to be very nice. Relatively speaking, we're going to be very kind.
So what nations will be impacted? According to Polymarket, these eight countries have the highest odds. That includes China, Mexico, India, Venezuela, South Korea, Vietnam, Japan, and Brazil. Russia way down at the bottom at 25%, and Canada is actually off the board. And speaking of off the board, good news yesterday as Israel has ended all tariffs on the United States of America. But it all starts and ends with energy. If and when energy comes down, everything else will. It's a domino effect. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright explains. Listen and watch this.
Oh, Stu, I don't think we're going to see energy prices rise. They've already come down in response to President Trump's actions, just his messaging on marketplaces. What you're going to see is tariffs on U.S. exports come down across the world. President Trump's message has been free and fair trade, reciprocal trade. I'm talking to foreign leaders all the time, and they want two key things. They want to buy more American products. I'm talking to them mostly about energy, and they want to invest more dollars in the United States. You've got to remember, this president was elected to lower energy prices. He's been at work on that every single day. And, of course, I'm working together with him on it. I'm actually super optimistic about where we're going. We're going to have lower energy prices, more investment in this country, more jobs for Americans. And Trump's central premise was that low-cost energy was good for American citizens. It was good for American security. It was good for America standing abroad. And he is full steam ahead on that agenda.
It's not all good, however. Apparently, a rift in the White House between the accomplished versus the bombastic. And it's bipartisan reporting from both Politico and the New York Post. Politico writes, headline, quote, "I don't know if anyone that isn't pissed off at him. Trump world turns on Lutnick." They write, "As Liberation Day nears, patience for the Commerce Secretary is wearing thin across the Trump administration." Politico cites six sources, quote, "Lutnick spends substantial time in the Oval Office, hyping the president on his tariff strategy and giving him bad advice, pushing for more aggressive tariffs," the source said. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent remains the measured voice, advocating targeted tariffs. Trade advisor Peter Navarro has never been shy about his affection for tariffs, and Politico writes he's a known quantity and isn't seen as shaking anything up. By contrast, Lutnick is a new voice at the table, pushing crazy, and I'm going to insert the S word here, and we'll just bleep that out. In the words of another person familiar with the situation, "I don't know anyone that isn't pissed off at him." The New York Post writes a similar story with the headline, "Frustrations grow with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick ahead of Trump tariff announcement. He's, quote, a loose cannon with half-baked ideas." They write, "One source says that Lutnick just spews on live television and doesn't think before he speaks." I personally believe that Howard Lutnick, I kind of proceed with caution. As I said on the show a month ago, he gives off kind of the slimy used car sales pitch vibe on TV. I'm sure the YouTube chat will agree with that assessment. I believe, though, that Trump's tariffs are going to result in a long-term net positive. But if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Worse yet, what if Trump is wrong? Peter Ducey of Fox asked that question yesterday to Caroline Leavitt, and here was the Q&A. Listen and watch.
President, right now, is with the trade and tariff team. They are very confident that this is all going to work. But yes. What if they're wrong?
They're not going to be wrong. it is going to work. And the president has a brilliant team of advisors who have been studying these issues for decades. We are focused on restoring the golden age of America and making America a manufacturing superpower. And again, Peter, I would point you to the investments that have already trickled into this country. And the president hasn't even made his tariff announcement yet tomorrow. There have been billions of dollars in private investments from around the world pouring into American communities. What does that look like for those watching at home, for the people you mentioned, worried about their own economic circumstances? It means more jobs in your communities, which means more money, more investments, more money in your pocket. That's what the president is committed to. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the president's commitment to tax cuts, which we are counting on Congress to do, especially on Social Security.
It's very simple. As I said to start the big take, all or nothing on the economy. It'll make or break Trump's second administration. Harry Enten of CNN with the latest data from America. Listen and watch this.
Let me just tell you, the economy and inflation is the whole kit and caboodle. As James Carville once said, it's the economy, stupid. But since I'm standing here with John Berman, it's the economy, smarty pants. Top issue facing America. Look at this. Number one, inflation in the economy at 43%. There ain't anything close to this, my friends. Political division, which comes in at number two, is 14%. That's a nearly 30-point gap. It's the only one that's over 15%. Donald Trump's presidency will ride or die on his ability to handle the inflation problem in this country and the economy.
So ride or die.
Yep, ride or die. Let's see what the costs are like come Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Labor Day, around the holidays. If we experience some pain, I believe it'll be worth the long-term gain. And I will have those receipts in years 2, 3, and 4 for those that doubt Trump on tariffs if he proves them wrong yet again. And that is The Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED now. Call them today. 800-FREE-SEED. 855-839-1210 is our phone number. As we continue here, you can reach us on social media at 1210 WPHT and, of course, in the YouTube chat. All right, Dawn Stensland, I'm very confident in Trump with tariffs. I think at the end of the day, whenever the end of the day occurs, I think we're going to be in a much better position. You mentioned it. It's a big slogan for the administration, peace and prosperity. Well, part two of that slogan goes into action today. Your thoughts on the tariffs?
I think that the key, I'm fascinated with this whole inside story with Lutnick, who's a brilliant, impressive guy. But I will say this, that if anything goes wrong, he's the fall guy.
No doubt.
That's really what they've set him up for. And the fact you keep hearing about Lutnick, he's the guy who's going to get thrown under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
Yep.
Right.
You're right.
So they've already teed him up to be that fall guy. But I think that part of the key here is that if they can bring down the energy prices, all the gas prices, all those negotiations that we're seeing, even with Russia right now, because everything's in play. Houthis, Trump put out on Truth Social, man, he was busy on Truth Social over the past 24 hours, but says the Houthis, they're decimated, talking to Putin, trying to get the Ukraine-Russia deal done. So all of this matters as they've really spent their time, if you think about where those a lot of the negotiations taking place, whether it's Israel or whether it's Russia, Ukraine, it's all in Riyadh. Why are they in Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's all about the energy cost. So if they can lower that, then it mitigates some of the, I think, immediate bump that we're going to feel as we figure out all the tariff situation.
Yeah.
But they said, nope, this is happening. And all the headlines worldwide, I look at, you know, BBC, all the rest of the world, they say the world is bracing. I think they will come into line. I think they will negotiate fairer deals and fairer trade. I mean, that's the bottom line. As much as the media is not reporting it, some places it's all over the place.
It's, well, to your point with the media, the mainstream legacy media is more upset or hell-bent and obsessed and focused on the potential of Trump tariffs costing Americans more than they are mad and obsessed about the fact that America is on the wrong end of all of these business deals. Think about that. The mainstream media never seems to really concern themselves with what's best for America. They just peddled the fear of the what ifs and what could possibly go wrong if Trump makes a miscalculation and another nation calls Trump on his bluff. And we talk about this all the time. These are leverage tactics, negotiating ploys. This is to, you know, jolt Canada, jolt Mexico, insert Venezuela, whatever nation you want, to get a better deal for Americans, to create jobs, to create more economic prosperity, to have more money in your pocket, to ultimately lower the costs of the goods that you buy, whether they're really good goods or they're crappy goods from China that are obviously not made here. At the end of the day, it's about making it better for us. It's honestly, it's the essence of Make America Great Again. You can't make America great again unless we were, and I'm not saying we're ever going to return to the 1920s or the 1950s. I'm not saying that we're going to have, you know, Bethlehem Steel is going to be resurrected or Birmingham, Alabama, the steel capital of the South, is going to be revived. But we have got to get back to actually producing some things in this country, or else we're other countries' B.I. bleep, 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 right? And he's tired of that. I don't understand how that's a bad idea. And when you look at the cost of everything, what's interesting as well is there are some things that I've seen go down a little bit, right? Eggs have gone down. It's not really a Trump thing. It's a chicken thing. Gas prices, I've seen hit or miss. I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen a couple of places where I'm down to like $3.01 a gallon. I've seen $2.97 a gallon. And then I see, no disrespect to our great partners at Wawa, I see Wawa go from like $3.17 to $3.29. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What the hell just happened here? I'm not a gas expert. I don't know who Wawa purchases fuel from, so forth and so on. But, you know, this is all about giving, I think, all of us more disposable income. And raise your hand if you want more disposable income. I know I do.
What's also fascinating, though, is that we're talking about this. Everybody's been talking about this. But we really don't know everything, because until he walks into the Rose Garden at 4 o'clock this afternoon and delivers, you know, and he's going to be joined by the cabinet members, and you know that it'll, you know, everybody's going to be sort of holding their breath waiting for this Rose Garden announcement or unveiling. What will it look like?
Right.
I mean, the truth is, that's the truth. We don't really know. Nobody knows for sure, even though Caroline Leavitt laid out some details. But until that happens at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we don't know all the details. So
yeah,
he clearly is doing this on purpose so they can make all their deals even throughout the day with all the different countries that have the highest tariffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that we're more that we're more interested in with our trade partners.
Media doesn't talk about the success of tariffs the first time around. And let's stop acting, mainstream media, Democrats, like we're the only nation that's going to utilize tariffs. Other nations around the planet are utilizing tariffs. How are their economies? Have you covered that? Or is it just the percentage possibility that it leads to inflation short term under the Trump administration? 855-839-1210.
Remember, he has been planning this. Remember, we talked about the fact that he was being criticized for putting some pavers in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
So think about the fact that they've been planning for this, and he's somebody who visualizes this. He thought, what if it's raining a little bit? Whatever, we're going to have this big Rose Garden ceremony. So this is the first time with the cabinet, biggity big news conference. So they've been planning this for about a month. He's known they're going to be here in the Rose Garden. This is what he's going to say. This is what he's going to unveil.
Yep.
4 o'clock this afternoon.
1 hour from now, Tony Bruno will join us for What's on the Cut Sheet. We'll come back and hit on two quick things as the Labor Department and DOGE secure an eye-popping sum that will be returned from COVID funds to you, the taxpayer. How much will each of us get? And also, we talked about Howard Lutnick as the fall guy for tariffs. Our buddy Mike Waltz on the national security front, he might be the fall guy when it pertains to Signal app. Wait till you hear the reported alleged mishap of Mike Waltz. It gets even worse. We're back after this. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
PGA Championship returning to Philadelphia, not this May, but next May, for a little sit down with the PGA Championship tournament director. So if you're a golf fan and you like the really, really high-end bougie courses like Aronimink or Marion or Cricket Club, we'll be dropping that at some point in the near future on all the socials So you can get a little taste of that if you would like. I think I've had my fill and my taste of Mike Waltz. I just want to mention this story. This is amazing. You talk about Howard Lutnick being the fall guy. It's usually the guys that are the most braggadocious that ultimately, you know, write checks with their mouth that their rear end can't cash, or those that just make a ton of mistakes. We talked a lot last week. Everybody was all over the story. It lasted for 3.5 days worth of shows in some form or fashion with Mike Waltz and the Signal app. And I was very, very, very critical of Mike Waltz. I thought you could justify firing him. I was very defensive when it came to Pete Hegseth. I don't think Pete Hegseth deserves the criticism that some were trying to, you know, impose upon him. But then Waltz comes out, and according to a report, he's using his Gmail account for government communications. Are you serious with this guy?
Waltz at gmail.com.
MikeWaltz82@gmail.com. You know, it's one thing if, like, you know, one of our sales executives emails me on my Odyssey account and I respond back on my Gmail account. Not going to cause an issue, right? Not in trouble. Not going to get fired. Nobody will even notice the difference because they're not even going to see the end of my email address. They just see that Nick responded. But if you're Mike Waltz, can you use perhaps your government email address? I don't know, mike.waltz@us.gov or whatever it is. Jesus, God. I mean, really, dude. I thought maybe we were past this story, but the Washington Post reporting that the senior aide, Waltz used the commercial email service for highly technical conversations with colleagues at other government agencies involving sensitive military positions and powerful weapons systems relating to an ongoing conflict, according to emails reviewed by the Washington Post. Now, who's leaking it? Who's the mole? That's another skunk that needs to be snuffed out and fired if it's on this Trump administration, because I thought maybe we were past having these little weasels infiltrate the administration. While the National Security Council official used his Gmail account, his interagency colleagues have been using their government-issued accounts. Headers from the email correspondence show.
They've responded. They have said that he has never received work-related emails on his personal Gmail account. That he may have received work-related emails on his personal Gmail account, but they say that Waltz has never sent any classified material over the unsecured platform. They reiterated it last night again, saying, quote, he has never sent classified material over his personal email account or any unsecured platform.
Quote, that from no the, evidence. Yeah.
The White House National Security Council.
I'd give him the benefit. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt if it wasn't where I'm sitting after a week past the Signal app. And I'm like, how did he have Jeffrey Goldberg's number? How did Jeffrey Goldberg end up on that chat, Mike Waltz? You lose. I can't give him the benefit of the doubt after last week's debacle.
I'm guessing that whoever the reporter is, the Washington Post, has some sort of receipts for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he can't just go by this off of hearsay.
Right. So, right. Like, I mean,
just saying.
Will that person show the receipts?
Like, they didn't like just Goldberg. Make this up out of thin air.
Right. So, we'll see.
Well, they might not know. I mean, they came out. This was a report. It was last night, after we went to bed. Hopefully, it was at about 10:30 last night.
Well, I was in a coma at 10:30.
So they're saying that he may have received people. Somebody might have sent him something that was work related, but he has never sent. So I think they're being very specific in what their response to the Weipo article.
Yeah.
They're saying he has never sent.
I would hope not.
And they said the word never over and over. So maybe he didn't send any classified material over any secured, unsecured platform. That's what they're saying. And they're specifically saying, let me reiterate, they say that NSA Waltz received emails. He received calendar invites as well from legacy contacts on his personal email.
Bombing Yemen. Do you accept?
There's lunch in the hub.
But by the way, also give the specific date for anything since January 20th.
Yeah.
So that he has, since January 20th, he has been in compliance with, you know, all records retention.
Yeah. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Speaking of emails, Odyssey sends out like the reminders that you have to update your password from time to time. Did you guys notice now we have to use 16 total characters?
Yeah.
We should just write a paragraph as our password next time.
I know.
16. I need two capitals, four syllables, a pound sign, an exclamation mark, two money signs. Let me grab a post-it note so I don't forget this one. Tom is in Delaware. He's got some thoughts on Liberation Day for Tariff 2.0. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. I tried calling you guys yesterday. You were dialed. I couldn't get in.
Well, you got in today, sir.
No brainer.
Say what?
The tariffs are no brainer.
No brainer. Okay.
I used to be in retail, and years ago, and when I'd be doing the number crunching, I remember walking into the CFO or CEO, and I'd be saying, "Why are we doing this? The variance was what wasn't that big. I mean, and that was before I even paid for the insurance, not including duties and everything else."
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Canada, they have free medical. Why do they have free medical? Because we pay for their defense. No one's talking about those expenditures. All these countries having all this excess money because we're going to protect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number three, we're the Walmart of the world, like Trump said. They're not going to raise prices on us. It's a short-term thing. To listen to these pundits in Washington who don't even understand 101 economics, it's a joke.
Well,
it's an absolute joke.
And even if we do have to deal with higher costs, Tom, for a short-term period, Trump has been honest about it. It's not like he's come out and said, no, you're not going to see any price increases. He said, look, it might suck for a little bit. I mean, so is the media going to acknowledge the fact that he was honest up front about it, saying, hey, 6 months to a year, 3 months, I don't know what the time frame is. Something might go up a little bit. Inflation might go from 2.8 to 3.4%. But the ultimate long goal, if people can actually think about the long game here and not just, but it's hard. And I get, even for the critics of tariffs, I get it because we're all living paycheck to paycheck. You know, 99% of us are living paycheck to paycheck and can't afford that extra couple of bucks. So I get it. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to pay off because I think we had the evidence the first time around. And I think these other nations will eventually buckle and bend the knee. 855-839-1210. All right, coming up hour two, we've got some news from Dawn to kick off the second hour. And then also a couple of other stories off of the beaten path, one in which includes the drive to keep AM cars in AM radio in cars, as the Senate is on their way to securing this as we try to defund things like PBR or a PBR. I could go for a PBR right now. PBS and NPR. We'll get to that story, as well as a story that Stalker found that is pretty fantastic about a parent, his kids, a McDonald's, and a job interview. We're all parents on this show. I think we're all going to have varying viewpoints on this little exercise that played out. And we'll talk about that before we get to Tony Bruno and the cut sheet. Hour two is next.
Yeah, if you're a parent, a grandparent, maybe you love spending some time on the lawn, especially as we come into spring, summertime, and maybe you're thinking about a lawn care service. Doesn't it just make sense that you would hire a company which provides better results and, of course, is going to be safer for you, your family, your pets? Well, that's why years ago, my husband and I, we shopped around, we did our research, and we chose Natural Lawn of America. That is my longtime lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, here's what they believe. It's pretty simple. They want to grow greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn of America, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. So many homeowners are switching to Natural Lawn safer services. Start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Just schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program. Do this today. Get free seeding every year. If you want that greener, healthier lawn, plus the free seeding, 800-FREE-SEED. Call Natural Lawn, 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best. Call the best. Choose my lawn care company. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.